Hi, everyone. Jim Gossard and John Richardson here again from Republicans Overseas. And we're going to have another 10-minute tax talk. John, there was an interesting article that was reposted on Axios just on Christmas Day, actually, December 25th. It's a reprint of an article that was initially published by Axios, looks like August 5th of 2021. And it's a reasonably well written article that, John, I got to tell you, just makes a preposterous claim. And I think we got to spend a couple minutes on this one. Title of the article is "Wealthy People Are Renouncing American Citizenship." Now, that might be a true statement. I'm sure there are some people that renounce their American citizenship who are wealthy. But the article goes on to claim that it's mostly ultra wealthy people. And I think everybody that I personally know who has renounced their citizenship, they are far from ultra wealthy. They are people who have been burned by either the cost of getting their taxes done, or they've been burned by FATCA, where their bank will no longer allow them to have proper banking in the country in which they live, or there are people whose mortgages, they've been threatened with cancellation of their mortgage due to FATCA, or people who've, I know one individual who had to renounce because of a business that she owned, a couple of businesses she owned, one in China, one in Singapore, and could no longer comply with the law because of FATCA. But yet this article says wealthy people are renouncing American citizenship. And in fact, it makes the blunt statement. It says the people who flee tend to be ultra wealthy, and many of them are seeking to reduce their tax burden. I think it's important that that's just not correct, John. Now, this is one of you're probably one of the foremost authorities in the known universe on this particular subject. What has your experience been with the relative number of wealthy people compared to the total population of Americans who end up having to take that painful step of renouncing their citizenship?
Yeah, well, Jim, there is no doubt that the overwhelming majority of people who are renouncing U.S. citizenship today are not wealthy. They're not ultra wealthy. They're renouncing for reasons that include the reasons that you gave at the beginning, but there's another reason that I'd like to add, and that is that the U.S. tax system effectively disables U.S. citizens living outside the United States from responsible retirement and financial planning because of the horrible punitive impact that U.S. tax rules have on anything that they call foreign, but is really, you know, a local financial plan for Americans living abroad. And this is why I've said, you know, thousands of times, and it's so important to understand this, that I mean, it's bad enough that U.S. citizens are subject to U.S. taxation if they don't even live in the United States. But the reality is that they're subject to a separate and far more punitive and vicious tax system than Americans who live in the United States. So the bottom line is that the overwhelming majority of people who renounce U.S. citizenship today are not renouncing because they want to. I mean, why would somebody want to pay $2,350? You know, and give up, you know, the right to live in the U.S. They are renouncing, to be clear, because they really are being forced out because of the sheer weight of these regulations. And I've got to say that Axios article was, you know, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, it's an act of journalistic vandalism. It was so misleading.
And some of the countries you're referring to, I think when you talk about retirement, how it impacts Americans' ability to save for retirement. That varies by country, doesn't it? I mean, there are countries where the U.S. simply does not recognize the local host nation's methods and accounts for accumulating retirement savings tax-free. I'm thinking, I might be wrong about these countries, but Canada, Israel, and Australia come to mind as being countries that have certain types of tax-free retirement savings that are available to residents and citizens of those countries. But the IRS doesn't recognize those accounts. So you have an American might be saving their whole life, and all of a sudden they go to retirement, and they get into tax trouble with the IRS.
Well, that's exactly right. The Internal Revenue Code recognizes zero non-U.S. Financial planning vehicles. So to the extent that they're recognized, they'd be recognized by treaties, which vary from country to country. I mean, in fairness, Canada and the UK have relatively favorable treaties. Australia is horrible. The treatment of the superannuation. But there's another dimension of this that I think needs to be understood. And that is that, you know, we're having this conversation. We think about retirement as pension planned or something equivalent to an IRA or something of this nature. But in many countries, the use of small business corporations double as private pension plans for people, of which Canada would be an example. So, you know, we go back to 2017, you know, we have the transition tax. Now, to be perfectly clear, that transition tax absolutely confiscated the pension plans of a number of self-employed individuals all around the world. That's what's really going on here. And, you know, like seriously, Jim, these people, they're not wealthy. They are being forced out of U.S. citizenship basically to save their financial lives.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in that case of that transition tax, that also... a lot of companies had to go back and restate that pay tax on retained earnings going back, I think it was something like 35 years. It was just an absolutely...
It was a retroactive tax. It was a retroactive
utterly ludicrous.
Yeah, a retroactive tax on fake income, meaning a retroactive tax on income that was never even received by the American citizen living abroad. It was so over the top.
Yeah.
Then when it first came out, many people, they thought it was a joke. They didn't even believe that something so outrageously unfair could be possible.
Yeah. How can you retain 5 years, 35 years of retained earnings in a small business? I mean,
yeah, exactly. And then, you know, there were people who were hospitalized over it, you know, et cetera. I mean, make no mistake about it. Okay. These people are being forced out of U.S. citizenship for good reason. Articles like that thing and Axios, especially, you know, without listening to any serious criticism and willingness to change, it's that, you know, these articles are really the equivalent of what I would call, you know, sort of a drive-by shooting, you know, in the middle of the night, right?
Let's talk about that a little bit too, John, because, you know, we're picking on this one article, but this articles like this, to me, seem like it opens the door, it creates exactly the wrong impression of the state that Americans living abroad are in terms of their citizenship and in terms of managing their financial lives. And this is not, we're not talking here about the ultra wealthy. It's just like regular middle class people that live outside the US for whatever reason. And they can't live a normal financial life. Well, the implications of articles like this, people can draw the wrong conclusion. Once people start to think that anybody that renounces their citizenship must be ultra wealthy, then it opens the door that, well, those people must be denied certain rights. Don't let them back in the country. Throw them all out. Deny them whatever. And that's not the case. So I think that, you know, this article is...
But I
want to comment on that, if you would, please.
You know, yeah, we are talking about this specific article, but in fairness, okay, there have been worse articles, and there probably will be.
Sure. Yeah, yep.
But it is an example of an article that, I mean, look, it takes a long time to learn this stuff, okay? And I think it's unfair for a journalist to be able to, you know, on a Wednesday afternoon, you know, to figure this out or whatever. But you know, these articles are written by people who don't understand what's going on and aren't particularly incentivized to try to figure out what's going on. You know, so they will call up, you know, some tax lawyer or something like this. And, you know, bear in mind, okay, you have to have probably a fair bit of wealth to be able to consult a tax lawyer to begin with, right?
Sure.
You know, et cetera. And, you know, they get a very, very biased view of this as though, you know, somehow this is unpatriotic or, you know, something of that nature. And it is.
But people can draw that conclusion based on article that makes a statement, wealthy people are renouncing American citizenship. Somebody reads that and they can draw the wrong conclusion. And in fact, the article itself, you read through the article and it does make the claim, but it does not in any way substantiate the data or the sourcing behind that claim. It says the people who flee tend to be ultra wealthy, many of them seeking to reduce their tax burden. There is no place in this article that cites any type of reference or source or data to substantiate that claim.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I would suggest the reason is that it cannot be substantiated. It's simply a false claim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the problem.
Important subject. And there's a lot of great stuff written on this subject. And there's a lot of bad stuff written on the subject too. But this is one that stood out and, you know, just is so glaringly obvious.
Well, yeah. And, you know, to come from, you know, I mean, Axios, you know, is not, you know, sort of a two-bit player in the news world. I mean, they're well known and I think, you know, fairly good distribution. I think making it even more, you know, painful, more dangerous, you know, to have these misconceptions out there. But, you know, Jim, you know, to bring this back to what we've been talking about the last few weeks, this is the problem of this citizenship taxation stuff, right? And this is why.
Yeah. It's a good way to wrap this up, John.
The U.S. has got to move to a form of to pure residence-based taxation, full stop. I mean, you know, just to add to this, you know, we talk about, you know, there's a $2,350 fee to renounce, but some people have to pay an exit tax because they have a net worth of over $2 million. And to be clear, anybody who lives in an American city with an IRA or a 401k and who owns a home in downtown Boston or, you know, is going to be over the $2 million. So these are not wealthy people. But, you know, these exit taxes for Americans abroad who are the ones predominantly renouncing, right? They're not even on U.S. assets, right? You know, this is paid on money that was never earned in the United States. And it's particularly dangerous in the area of non-U.S. pension plans. For example, a University of Toronto professor, you know, let's say he or she had a retirement pension with a present value of $1 million, which is perfectly reasonable for a teaching career.
Sure.
If that person has a net worth of over $2 million under the U.S. tax rules, and I notice you're sitting down, which is good, that person would have to include the full $1 million value of that pension as income on the day before renunciation. I mean, that's how punitive this stuff is.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea, this notion that people are renouncing to avoid tax is, I mean, it's at best incredibly ignorant, right? And at worst, extremely malicious.
Right. Well, John, the solution to this whole thing, it's kind of where we started this whole series. And it is that where we stand on the whole issue is that we stand for pure RBT, which means that the total renunciation of citizenship-based taxation. And we feel that it's wrong to try and solve this issue by fiddling around the edges and, carve-outs here and a little benefit there and same country exemption here. We're still going to have issues like this unless citizenship-based taxation is renounced. John, anything to do before we wrap up? We're going on now a bit over 10 minutes.
No, I think this is probably a good moment to stop. I don't want to get people more depressed during the holiday season. But the thing is that what's needed is pure residency-based taxation, no carve-outs, no left-outs, pure residency-based taxation for all. This will solve the problems of all people, all the time, in all circumstances.
John Richardson, you're the best. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, bye.